Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast. It's the 2nd of June, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, and the HAT podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com. Coming up on the podcast today, Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller check in with news, including a new but familiar name and face at the head of the Indiana Farm Service Agency. And Meat and Poultry wants to be at the table as farm labor revisions are discussed. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has a mostly dry forecast the next couple of days as temperatures warm up, too. And corn and bean futures again sold off, ending the month of May. We have the settlements and Brian Basting market analysis coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast.
As a farmer, you plant millions of seeds every spring. You know that tomorrow's harvest depends on today's hard work, knowledge, and care. At First Farmers, we recognize that today's seed is tomorrow's success in both farming and finance. If you're looking for a bank that has been committed to agriculture for over 135 years and has the experience to prove it, let's talk. Learn more at ffbt.com or stop by your local branch. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Considering a career in agriculture, Michigan State University's Institute of Agricultural Technology offers in-state tuition rates for students from Indiana and beyond. With programs like Ag Operations, Forest Technology, and Food Processing, MSU IAT prepares career-ready graduates in 2 years. Our certificate programs are designed to launch your students' future in agriculture. Take the first step at iat.msu.edu.
New leaders for Indiana USDA agencies and farm labor reform needed for meat processors. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today News.
Hello, this is Grant Hackman, ag lender at Beacon Credit Union, wishing all farmers a safe and successful growing season. Let Beacon serve you with your next real estate, equipment, or operating loan.
Steve Brown is returning to his previous post as state executive director for the Farm Service Agency in Indiana. He served in the role during President Trump's first term in the White House. The announcement was made last week.
You know, not a lot of people get the opportunity. I've actually been retired or semi-retired for 4 years. And when I was asked if I would be interested in coming back, I gave it some really deep thought and talked to my family. And I said, yeah, you know, I would like to come back. I've been revitalized and taking a little time off kind of gets you refreshed. And I look forward to coming back and working with a lot of new individuals within our agency. So, I'm very excited to be back.
Brown grew up in rural Warren County on his family farm. He's worked as a USDA employee in Porter and Carroll counties, as well as the Indiana State FSA office. He was inducted into the Carroll County Agricultural Hall of Fame in 2023. Brown takes great pride in the work the Farm Service Agency does around the state. He's grateful for the opportunity to serve in the role a second time.
Secretary Rollins mentioned that, you know, our county offices are the face of our agency, and I'm given the task to give our county offices the support they need to administer our programs and take care of our customers. And we did a lot during COVID, the last administration, and I was so proud of our employees for what we accomplished then in a difficult time, and I expect nothing less. We just have great employees, and we will continue to serve our farmers.
Steve Howell, most recently the Senior Director of Industry Affairs for the Indiana Soybean Alliance and Indiana Corn Growers Association, was also appointed as the Indiana State Director of Rural Development. Farm labor reform remains a hot topic in the ag industry. C.J. Miller reports how many in the meat and poultry process industry are asking lawmakers to be included as part of the next revision of the H-2A program.
If we could improve H-2A, and we've long argued that we would like to be part of H-2A in the meat and poultry processing sector, that would help a lot in alleviating across the harvest part of meat and poultry production.
And that's Juliana Potts, president and CEO of the Meat Institute. She says consumers only need to look back 5 years ago during the pandemic as an example of what happens when meat processing facilities are short of workers. She says that during the pandemic, productivity decreased by as much as 50%. And while many new technologies have great potential for the meat and poultry processing sector, She says that automation is not entirely the answer.
But that takes capital. And as you know, the market for beef and pork and a little bit in chicken has not been as strong as it was before and during the pandemic. So I think you saw maybe a bit of a slowdown on some of those investments. They will continue, but it is not going to solve the problem comprehensively. We need immigration reform. We need a steady, stable, legal workforce, and no amount of automation is going to take that place. People working in our plants will be repurposed. They won't lose their jobs because of automation.
Potts adds that as new technology, including automation, is incorporated into the meats and poultry processing industry, there will be plenty of places where human workers will still be needed. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer. Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We're moving through this week with warmer air trying to work its way in. This warmer air eventually will interact with a frontal boundary to give a little moisture to the Hoosier State, but I don't think that's happening in the short haul part of the forecast. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at us staying relatively dry through the day today and through pretty much all of tomorrow. Temperatures, as we are mentioning, going up. I think we're going to be above normal for the first time in a while here this afternoon. And southwest flow really starts to develop. A big frontal boundary is off to our west, and it's going to be starting to work in here likely on Wednesday. Scattered showers and thunderstorms. It starts benignly enough, but I think as we get into the Wednesday night, Thursday time frame, we can see a secondary surge of moisture that lifts up across the Hoosier State. Combined with the Wednesday and Thursday patterns together, I think we're looking at anywhere from a quarter to 1.5 inches of rain. Coverage at around 95% of the Hoosier State. We follow that up with a dry finish to the week for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then we get into next week, Monday, Tuesday, hit and miss scattered showers around before we try and dry down at Tuesday night into early Wednesday. Showers and thunderstorms back Wednesday, Thursday. We're getting a little bit more active in the precipitation ball game as we move through next week. I don't think that's a bad thing. We're quite dry over a large part of the state. However, I will tell you that folks in southern Indiana are hoping we skew some of the heavier moisture a little bit farther north than south. No promises in my forecast now that we can actually get there just yet. So your warmest and driest days are here the next couple. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Planting season is here, and Beacon Credit Union is proud to stand beside the farmers who make it all happen. We're here to help with flexible lines of credit, equipment financing, and real estate loans built for your operation. At Beacon, it's ag people serving ag people, committed to your success in every season. Start at beaconcu.org. Insured by ASI, not federally insured EHO lender.
Attention construction pros. Purple Wave Auction brings quality equipment to your fingertips. Join our bi-weekly online auctions featuring dozers, excavators, loaders, and more. We provide detailed listings, photos, and seller contact info. Inspect online or in person. With our no reserve policy, every item sells to the highest bidder. Visit purplewave.com today and see why informed builders choose Purple Wave. Transparent processes, real deals, your next great purchase awaits. purplewave.com.
More losses in corn and beans to end the month of May. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. It's brought to you by the Purdue Farm Stress Team. Don't get stuck in the mud this spring. Make sure you're getting enough rest and coping with stress in healthy ways. And you can learn more at extension.purdue.edu/farmstress. Final numbers from May 30th trade coming up. We begin, though, with market analysis. I grabbed that during the session from Brian Basting at Advanced Trading. It has been a week in search of news to maybe prop up the corn and soybean markets, and that news has been sparse, Brian. We've certainly had some things in the news. Looks like really the only major market mover from my perspective anyway has been weather. What's your thought?
Thanks for having me, Andy. I agree with that. It's a holiday shortened week, of course, as your listeners know, with Memorial Day there. And we're looking at news, as you said, not being on the overload here. We did see a couple of export sales announcements of corn this week with this corn market backing up. Just a little bit here. But as you say, as we enter the month of June, it's weather time here in the Northern Hemisphere, specifically looking at the U.S. We are looking at some better planting prospects in the Eastern Corn Belt, Andy, short term here. Now, we know it's been a challenge to your neighbors to the east there in Ohio, and even parts of Indiana have been a bit wet, and a dab or two in Michigan and in Illinois, but does look more promising. It's going to warm up quite a bit here, and I think the market has taken note of that. We're seeing some pressure in new crop corn and soybean futures here as the week winds down. I think that we're going to have a good shot at reaching our planting intentions numbers from the March report from USDA, 95 million on corn. That number may have been in doubt a week to 10 days ago because it was so wet, but things have dried up. We may see a bit of replanting here and there, Andy, but even that, I think that window is going to wind down here pretty quick. So I think as opposed to seeing a major increase from that 95 million of corn, I think we'll reach that number, maybe a tad above that. But as we enter the month of June here, of course, as your listeners know, we want to see a combination of nice warm days, not extremely hot. We want to see this crop get some good growth on it. We want to see some rain here and there. Beg your pardon, the National Weather Service will release their 30-day forecast for the month of June. On Saturday, May 31st, we'll take a look at that going into the month of June here and see what the National Weather Service tells us. But no doubt, so far, I would say the weather nationally, Andy, has been okay. Crop condition ratings for corn were a little bit lower than expected this week at only 68%. Good to excellent. But I think that overall, we've got a pretty good start. Again, stop and go here and there across the nation with some challenges in the east there. But overall, for the country as a whole, pretty good, and that's been reflected in weaker markets.
I assume that we're still in a situation where some major trade agreements, should they be inked and publicized, could help boost the market, specifically China, if that were to happen.
No doubt. I think as we enter the summertime period, Andy, we're looking at the 90-day pause, if you will, that was signed by the U.S. and China here recently. There seems to be a little bit of tension amongst the parties here involved for the moment. That's kind of natural, I suppose, as we move on here. But we'll just have to see how that evolves. If we were to get something resolved with China or another major trading partner, Europe, for example, resolved here as we enter the summer, would certainly provide some support. I think just the uncertainty that the market is dealing with that right now, looking ahead to that 25-26 crop year, has unsettled the market and discouraged buying interest. Funds have actually assumed a short position now in corn, a modest short position, nothing like the strong long position that they had this spring, winter and spring, but they've actually assumed a short position. So something that would perhaps slow that or perhaps change that trend, as you said, would be a major agreement. I don't have any indication that that's going to happen anytime soon, but I think a producer, when they're looking at their marketing strategy, Andy, really would be prudent to remain flexible as possible, keep that downside protected for any remaining old crop that they may be holding, and also keep that upside open for any old crop they may have sold. If you're looking at an opportunity for either a trade agreement announcement or weather scares here or overseas, one of those things. But the key message there, Andy, is maintain flexibility, keep defending your balance sheet, but we still got the entire growing season ahead of us yet. And so a lot of variables, a lot of moving pieces here as we start summer.
Brian Basting at Advanced Trading. Get him at 309-664-2314. On the Friday farm market review, down 3 cents. July corn, 444. September, 423 and a quarter, down 4. And December, 438 and a half, a loss of 2 3/4. Double-digit losses in the soybean futures market. July, 1041 and 3/4, a dime down. August, 11 3/4 lower, 1036 and 3/4. 3/4, and November a dime and a half lower at 10.26 3/4. July wheat unchanged, 5.34. September down a half cent, 5.48 1/4. Meats were mixed, down a nickel on June live cattle, 215.47. June lean hogs, 101.32, up $1.30. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.